What is the problem with Moshe? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capo, California, with Absolute Philosopher. What is the problem with most people? The problem with most people is that they have a problem. Now, if they didn't have problems, then everything would be just honky-dory. Everything would be just wonderful, and everything would go along smooth, and smooth as silk, smooth as could be. But people have problems. And not only do they have problems, but they like to tell you they have problems. They like to tell you that they have things to worry about. Boy, you know, this is interesting. This is interesting. At lunch, Ellen gives me a storm. Supper, Sylvia gives me a storm. And Ingeborg, do you give me a storm at breakfast? No. So, what's that? That's no problem. That's no problem. I just shoot them all. Then I don't have any problems. But why is it that we dote on, like to talk about, and like to tell everybody our problems? Well, we like to do that because we're so proud. Ellen told me that she talked to our well man today, and our well man was saying, well, I just had a pacer put in, a heart pacer, and he said, there's nothing to it, just nothing to it, just nothing to it. Well, now, he's milking that for all he's worth. He had a heart pacer put in. That sounds so serious, you know. And he said it was nothing. That makes him sound really pretty good, you know. Now, is this true for everybody that it's nothing? Or is it just for him that it's nothing? Now, if it's just for him that it's nothing, then he wants to get credit for it being nothing. And if it's everybody that for whom it's nothing, then he wants to get credit for this, something that's common for everybody. Did you take a glass of water? Well, you want credit for taking a glass of water? You want credit for drinking a glass of water? It's so common, you know. Why do we want to tell people we're doing it and get credit for it? Well, that's because we make a problem out of it. I tell the family here at the monastery, I tell them every morning, every day, I ask the same question and I get the same answer. I say, well, what wonderful thing have you done this morning? What wonderful thing have you done this afternoon? And so they start telling me how they went to the toilet and used so many pieces of paper. And really, essentially, that's what they're saying. And I say, what is the matter with you? Everybody goes to the toilet and uses paper unless they have a bidet, you know. And the thing is, when I ask you, what wonderful thing have you done? Think about it. Now, when our friend Beatrice was here, she was learning how to be the ideal woman and have the ideal marriage and have her husband be the ideal man or the ideal husband, whatever she chose to do. And then she went for a hike in the mountains with her husband, I guess, and they wore their hiking shoes and had a great time. And they just built themselves a brand new apartment in Switzerland. Brand new apartment, I believe. And that apartment had a brand new hardwood floor, brand new in every way. And like with a new car, you know, you take a handkerchief and dust off any dust that gets on it. Or her husband said, sweetheart, I think it's a good idea if we take our shoes off when we get in the house because we got all that stuff on our boots and it gets into the floor. And at first, inside of her rang the old story, don't you tell me what to do, you know, which is what most wives and husbands do with each other. And then she remembered, hey, I have the ideal marriage. I'm the ideal woman. He's the ideal man. He wouldn't tell me anything unless it was an ideal comment. And so instead of being irritated, she said, thank you very much. I will do just that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know? And, of course, it blew his mind, thinking that she was such an easy mark. But she wasn't an easy mark. What she was she was in charge of herself. Yeah, that's all right. Ellen goes around here wearing her clothes right side out and inside out, and then she wants credit for it. She wants to do it in front of everybody else. Take it off and put it on again, right, just because she sees the label on the outside. Well, you see, those are things where we're always looking for credit. We're always looking for someone to appreciate what we're doing, and it's a silly thing to do because people are going to get tired of giving us credit because they want credit. And if we're going to go around looking for other people to give us credit, we should give ourselves credit. We should. Now, what Beatrice did, when she said that to her husband, inside of herself she says, I am the ideal woman. I am acting like the ideal woman. I'm not acting like an old shrew who's always telling other people what to do or being told what to do. I am the ideal woman, and I respond in the ideal woman's fashion. And my husband's the ideal man. I wouldn't want him to be any different than he is. He loves our home. He loves our furniture. He loves our floor. He loves me. And he wants to keep me from doing too much work on scrubbing the floor and polishing it and all that sort of good stuff. But you see, when she takes it from a different point of view, then life becomes a great, joyous experience. And it has no problems. All the problems just disintegrate. They dissipate. They disappear. They're invisible. All the problems are still as much there as they ever were, but you don't see them anymore because you look from the ideal woman, from the ideal man's point of view. You're not looking at it like someone who's being picked on. She always picks on me. Whatever comes in the house, she always tells me what to do. She always tells me this, or he always tells me, or he always tells me what to do, and he always tells me how to do this. And, you know, interesting, isn't it? Interesting. I go places and people say, Herb, you should wear a suit, or you should wear trousers, and you should wear this or that. And I think to myself, thank you very much. I think I'll do it just the opposite. And not because I want to or don't want to, but because I'm an independent person. I'm doing my own thing. But, if I were the ideal man, and acting like the ideal man, I wouldn't hear any negative comment about anything I do. People could talk up a storm, and if it wasn't positive, joyous, I wouldn't hear it. Now, I wouldn't hear someone tell me to wear a suit, or someone tell me to wear this, or change that, or do that. I wouldn't hear it. I would do it, because inside of myself, I always want to be nice and use the latest that I have, and clean stuff, but do we do that? Or do we look at somebody, get off my back. You're always telling me what to do. You're always telling me how I should act. You're always telling me where we should go. You know? I said to Ellen, as we were watching the dancers, I said, you know, if you'd ask me to dance, I'd dance. And she says, oh? She says, I didn't know that. And I said, sure. And so the dancing stopped, of course. And so, right? And of course, if you don't remember it, then
I didn't hear that.
Oh, you didn't hear that?
Oh, that would have been nice. I would have instantly said, yes, please!
That's true. That's true.
I didn't hear that.
That's true. But the thing is, I am such an outstanding dancer.
No.
Holy cow!
No! That was
holy
not,
cow!
No, but it was not negatively. No.
It sounds like you're a fantastic dancer.
I was thinking you were outstanding, and I'm not.
No, here we're talking about problems, you know.
Okay.
Now, if I took that as a problem, that you would say ho ho ho, yeah. Then I would be the only one suffering, because as Ellen is so trying to crawl out from under the rock right now, she's trying to not say she didn't mean that.
No.
That wasn't her intention. But this is what we do. We try to protect our backside. And every time we try to protect our backside, we get kicked worse, because we bring it up, we make the problem more of a problem than it ever was. Now, when I'm out dancing with people, and when I'm dancing with them, the woman that I dance with looks just glorious. She looks like she's a student of Fred Astaire or Ginger Rogers herself. She looks just glamorous and wonderful. And the woman I'm dancing with, she thinks that whoever she dances with looks just like Fred Astaire, because she is dancing with Gene Kelly. She is training this person to be that person, and that's what she expects. So, any woman who dances with me and expects me to be Gene Kelly or Fred Astaire or whomever, I am. Any woman I dance with and I expect her to be, you know, some beautiful dancer, then she is. Maybe even a diva from the opera. I don't know if that'd be too good a dancer, because I think they just know ballet. Do you think the divas from the opera dance too? Well, I should think they probably have to do all sorts of dances, all sorts of steps. Well, the ideal man is never touched by what anybody in the world says. The ideal man is so self-confident, so content with himself, so at home and peaceful with himself, he is untouched by anything anybody else says. Now, the ideal woman the same way. But sometimes the ideal man and the ideal woman wake up. Somebody's giving them a hard time and they're saying, you know, their fuse is getting hotter and hotter. And then they say, I am the ideal man. What am I upset about? I am the ideal woman. What am I upset about, you know? And when you say that, then all of a sudden, the pressure cooker is released from all the pressure. And all of the anxiety is gone. And it doesn't really matter what the outcome is at that point, because there's no more pressure. There's no more anxiety. And if the person changes their mind or doesn't change their mind, if the person still is on your back about something and you're no longer touched by it, wow! Who's the master? You! Me! When we are untouched by anything anybody else says, and when we realize that we are the ideal man, the ideal woman, you know, the ideal child, we have the ideal marriage, we have the ideal relationship, we have the ideal friendship, you know? We watched a man up on stage at the Mexican cruise, and Ellen and the girls say it was what he had seen on Oprah Winfrey's show. And he got up and he got this girl from the audience, who may have already been his wife, and he brought her up on stage, and he said to her, as he went down on one knee, in front of the whole audience and everything else like that, he said, I love you very much. Will you marry me? And they presented her with the ring or something. And she played the role with him. Yes. Oh, yes. And hug, snuggle, kiss, you know, which was not part of the amateur show, which was not supposed to be done there. But that's okay. That's okay. There's nobody says it has to be or can't be. It just normally isn't. So the audience looked on. The audience was already upset with the fellow, because he was just going contrary to all the rules of the talent show, because the talent show was supposed to have people who were singing karaoke from the karaoke screen, and they're supposed to sing it from the screen. They're not supposed to already have memorized the song. Well, he and several others had memorized the song, and as they did this, the other people who were playing the game according to the rules, they looked not so good. But the audience was mature enough. Most of them were over 60. The audience was mature enough to recognize in the people who really played the game according to the rules. And they recognized that the judges who were not playing the game according to the rules were treating these people as though they were professionals. And they're amateurs. At least they were supposed to be amateurs. Amateurs getting up and doing what they've seen other professionals do, you know, and trying to pretend that they were the professional, and how the professional would sing, oh, you know, and sing way out, and, you know, and that's great. That's great. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, because that's what karaoke is all about. And those of us, those of us who were mature, and those of us who were the ideal person, we looked at the whole show and didn't judge any of it. We just listened, and those who played according to the rules, we said, bravo. And those who didn't play according to the rules, we thought, it must be hard to live with yourself when you don't play according to the rules in the game of life. Now, that's not only there. That's not only there. That's on many things, you know, where you don't play the game according to the rules. In many areas of life, people do that. And it gets exciting to get involved in a conversation like that. But as we watch these people perform on stage, the guy who won shouldn't have won either, because this was a song he had memorized way back when, "Smoke Gets in Your Eyes." That was one of my favorites back in the 40s, you know. They asked me how I knew. I could have got up there and sung it too, you know. And I'm sure that all of us could have. He should have said, "Now, all right, audience, come sing with me," you know. And, you know, what a big deal that would have been. How wonderful that would have been. But the thing is, we're untouched. We're untouched. And one kid got up there and paraded around in a sort of a nonsensical, almost naughty way. And the audience just said, "Oh, go for it, kid. Be yourself," you know. And it's interesting. It's interesting. Because you never know how much schnapps these guys have downed, you know, sitting in the audience. Because the guys come around, you know, serving drinks, alcoholic drinks and stuff like that. And so it's quite interesting what is going on. Quite interesting. So, I think that we probably have heard enough of this, but problems, who needs them? Let's be our ideal self. I love you. I love you. I mean,